we go. Hey, this is Flash at the Dork Table doing an unusual Sunday morning extravaganza with a couple of co-hostages. I managed to scrounge up my good buddy Rob Works and, guess who? Larry Woods. You guys want to say hey?
Hey. Good morning.
Anyway, so the two of these guys are more involved in the electronics and the magnetics and the wavelengths. This is where the knowledge comes from. So I'm just going to start giving them questions to fuck with them and get them talking. And I think the first thing is the illusion that we need to always go out and create sources of energy and go to war for sources and that, instead of it being abundant and free to human life, we are forced to go take it. Is that a good question or not?
It's more like a statement.
Okay, well, I'm asking. There. Well, okay, do you disagree with my point?
I do not. I don't disagree with that. The technology has been suppressed for so long. I mean, we could have had this long, long ago with Tesla, which is some of the technology that Larry's been working on. That's what I got excited about. After watching this Nassim Haramein video, where he talks about the, as Larry just mentioned, the Tree of Life, the symbology, and it's actually a diagram. It's actually they actually gave us the physical dimensional specs for the building blocks of reality, so to speak. Would you agree with that, Larry?
Absolutely. Let me start with sort of a broad statement. Everything, from a photon all the way to the universe, everything is a toroidal field. Everything has the Holy Trinity involved with it. That Holy Trinity is vibration, which causes electricity, which causes magnetism. Vibration, electricity, magnetism. That's the Holy Trinity. That creates a torus field, and everything that there is does that. And each of those torus fields, or toroidal fields, however you want to call them, interact with one another to create matter, to create what we think of as empty space, which is the most filled up place in the whole place. There's more stuff in what we think of as empty space than there is in solid space. Everything needed to make everything that there is out there waiting to bump together and interact and coalesce to make matter.
Exactly. So what you're saying is meshing just hand in hand with Nassim Haramein is saying in that video. And as I was watching that, he did this diagram where he drew a circle and then he put a tetrahedron in the middle of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then he took another one and inverted it. And then pressed them together, and then rotated counterclockwise or rotated 90 degrees, and that created I forget what he calls it, but
Merkaba.
Yeah.
Well,
Merkaba. Okay.
Merkaba.
Yeah. So that's what made me. I immediately thought of you, Larry, and your coil. Your coil is basically this. The same thing using the Starship coil design, basically. It's that same pattern, the 64 point. Does yours come out to 64?
Ours is Ours is a 12-circuit coil. See, what you're seeing in that Starship coil is everybody's idea of what it should be. That Starship coil is a two-dimensional representation.
Right. And you take that and make it into a 3D onto your toroid.
Absolutely. Put it on a donut. It's three-dimensional.
Right.
And it comes out with 12 circuits.
Okay. Okay. So that comes out to 12.
Yeah, that comes out to 12 circuits. And what this Starship coil is generally just one piece of wire. Our coil has 12 pieces of wire on it, all of them interacting with each other.
Okay.
The Starship coil twists its wire and crosses at detrimental angles. When you cross a magnetic field, it's got to be either at 90 degrees or 180 degrees. And the Starship coil has got a lot smaller degree levels.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, but what does that mean to a simple guy like me? I mean, is there something you could compare that to that I would probably see all the time and not really put it together that, oh, that explains this?
Well, yeah, every single coil that's out there, no matter if it's just a piece of wire wrapped around your finger, every single coil out there does something. Some of them are more efficient than others. I just think we found an efficient way to do it.
Yeah.
And I don't think that yet we are the very best thing out there. I think we're the best thing out there so far, but I'm sure that there are improvements that can be made.
Well, how are you going to...
different applications as well. I mean, you've got energy generation and you've got other possibilities.
Right, but how do you acquire other people's interest into this project that you've been working on all this time without hitting their greed bone, and all of a sudden they want it to be their intellectual property that you have to pay them for? Because that's the holdup in everything.
Yeah. We've had that problem with investors. It seems like the people with money don't have knowledge in this area, and the people with knowledge in this area don't have money. So,
catch 22.
It's sort of like a 16-year-old kid. You got to have a car to get a job. You got to have a job to get a car.
Yep.
Yeah. So, what road did you decide to use?
We're going open source.
Okay, and so is it safe to claim that open source, in your opinion, at this point, is the answer to the problem?
No.
Okay.
We can still get killed.
Okay, how?
But how?
Yeah.
Because when you try to patent anything like this, the government will classify it, and that means that you can still make your stuff, but the government owns it, and you only work for the government. And we don't want to kill people with this. It would be easy to do, but we don't want to kill people with this. We want to make a safe product that everybody can use to supply their own power. That's all.
Well, you know, the sad part about this to me, the way I look on all this, is the minute that you start thinking, as I've learn to think in my lifetime about the lack of interest in turning a profit, then you start to see when you do good shit for other people, you get it returned to you in ways that you can't even explain.
Yes, absolutely.
You have to be tuned into that to even know it's there, or you would just think, oh, look at how great I am. I get everything I want.
No. I am not the sharpest pencil in the box. In fact, I don't think that I know much at all.
Yep.
I'm kind of a dummy.
Me too. I know. But compared to some of the other dummies, we're not so bad.
The way I feel about it is everybody has the same intellectual level. Mm. It's just that some people know different kinds of things than others.
Well, how could open source actually take off and make this work the way that you envision it working without the without that tech? I own the technology. I own the knowledge. You are my dog. You will get what I give you. Attitude that we've got from the system.
Well, you just got to realize that you're doing this for the general public. You're not doing this for yourself. I've got a team that I think is absolutely brilliant right here that we developed this with. However, we are now, since we went open source, we're studying with a group that is international, and these guys are sharp. They're really, really smart. They caught on real quick. We're teaching each other. Our coils are now being incorporated in some other inventions that work, just enhancing them, making them better. And that's all we're here for. And these guys have helped out so much and even enlightened us on quite a few things. I'm real thrilled to be able to work with them.
Well, that's the best thing I've heard so far. We
have a once-a-week meeting that lasts from noon until 4:30 or 5:30 in the afternoon.
Really?
Yeah, that's almost dawn for some of them.
Do you ever go over because you're so enthralled in what you're talking about?
Oh, golly, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because time limits on topics like this. Like I said, 2 hours, we're going to do a show because Grimm's coming on with music later. But we had the appropriate time, so I thought, hey, let's just do this now and see what we come up with.
Well, sure.
But you have just taken the ancient knowledge, the ancient technologies, and used them in the physical today world with the materials available to you now that were available that are here today weren't here then. So in some respects, in the way I look at this, we're using different materials to get to where we're going than they did when they started.
Possibly. And we're going about it a little bit different way. Like I said, everything is frequency. Everything has got to do with vibration of some sort. Well, the ancients, that little handbag that they carried around, the man purse and the cone.
I've seen those in the pictures, yeah.
Yeah, the man purse was a power source. It was a capacitor. Maybe just some sort of a battery like the Baghdad battery, but it focused through that pine cone frequency that made these things operate. Well, we've done the frequency between the magnetic field and the resonant field of the wire just because of the geometry. With a Hallback array inside of our 12 circuit coil, it produces power without spinning, without moving the magnetic field. Induction is moving a magnetic field past the conductor or a conductor past the magnetic field.
Right.
That's what generates power. That generates a DC charge. We have got a Hallback array in the center of our coil that's static, that means not moving, creates 12 volts. Now, when you create that 12 volts out of a coil, that's 12 volts DC. But because of the resonant frequency that's harmonic, in harmony with the wire and the magnetic field, that creates a vibrational frequency that gives us 12 volts AC out of these coils. And as far as I know, there's not a coil out there that does that.
Okay. For people that don't understand, could you explain to us basically what is a Hallback array?
A Hallback array is a collection of magnets that the way they're positioned has either more North Pole or more South Pole to it. And okay. With a South Pole Hawback array, we're creating 12 volts AC without movement.
And wow.
Unheard of.
Well, wait. Okay. If we're vibrating all the time and all this, where does the not movement part come in? I thought everything was constantly moving.
Oh, okay. Everything's constantly moving, but in our big world,
I think he's talking about visible movement.
Yeah, you have to physically move the magnetic field back and forth across the conductor. When the magnetic field is sitting still, it still vibrates, but we can't see.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm so simple, Larry. I took it for face value and thought, well, if it's not moving, it's still. Well, no, it's moving so fast that your abilities can't comprehend it. I got
right.
that. Yeah. Well, I try to explain that to people, and I always come out looking like some kind of pothead lunatic, you know, that's looking to sell some drugs to some poor slob, you know, instead of what my goal would really be, would make this simple for somebody like myself.
Sometimes I don't explain things well.
No, you do very well. You're the first person that really got my attention on the free, outside of Tesla, because the technology comes from it. But as far as somebody I could talk to and, you know, have a conversation with, you made it simple enough for me to make sense of it.
I'm glad you brought up Tesla.
Yeah, but being able to explain it to others, that gift I don't have. But I have my own version of what you say that to me makes sense. So I attribute that to you, sir.
Well, that's what I liked about the Nassim Haramein video, is he does that. He explains things not from the purely scientific physicists using their terminologies and everything. He explains it in such a way that the layman can understand it. And it made so much sense to me, and I immediately thought of you, Larry, when he talked about inverting that thing and then rotating it 90 degrees and pressing it together, and it creates a double toroid.
Well, that's something that we've sort of expanded upon. Instead of a double toroid, when you make that starship coil, which is a beautiful coil, but when you put that around a toroid, that turns into a triple Mobius. Do you know what a Mobius is?
Yeah, but go ahead and explain it.
Take a piece of ribbon, put one twist in it, and connect the ends together.
Right.
That means when you follow the path of that piece of ribbon, you go around the inside and the outside. You cover every single piece of that ribbon.
Right.
Well, we put an extra twist in it. Our coil is nothing but a series of equilateral triangles that are wound around a toroidal shape, a donut.
Right.
Just like Randy's donuts in the video that Randy Powell does about vortex math.
Oh, okay.
So what that does is when the power travels around that triple Mobius, around the toroidal field, that creates a vortex, a tornado, inside the ring of the torus. And it magnifies the magnetic field inside that ring, which magnifies the magnetic field in the whole of the donut.
Right.
And by increasing the magnetic field, you magnetically decrease the resistance of the wire. What that does is allows you to carry more amperage through smaller wire.
Okay.
Oh,
so,
wow.
So wire rated for 0.9 amps, less than 1 amp, we get 30 amps out of. When you put that same amount of wire on a standard coil, it starts a fire in 3.5 minutes. When you put it around our coil and energize it, you get 30 amps out of it. At 3 volts, we get, wait a minute, let me start back with one more formula. 1 volt through 1 ohm of conductor yields 1 amp.
Right.
Okay. We put 1 volt through 1 ohm of conductor and get 10 amps.
Yeah, that makes it easier to understand.
Okay. So with the wire rated for 0.9 amps and we're getting 30 amps out of it, after 30 minutes, we get up to 120 degree temperature on that wire. The insulation of that wire is rated for 200 degrees. After 45 minutes, we're still at 120 degrees. We are violating the principles of thermodynamics.
Yeah. Ain't that something?
So it has nothing to do with wire. It all has to do with a magnetic field. So these things actually ask for more load up to their maximum capabilities. So when in most circuits, when you add a load, the voltage drops. We don't get a voltage drop. We get a very, very, very minute voltage drop. What we get is a proportionate amperage increase. Increasing the amperage increases the magnetic field. When you increase the magnetic field, it decreases the resistance of the wire, and you can put more amperage through it.
Right.
So it's sort of give me more. Yeah.
How long did it take you to get from where you started to where you're at now, years wise? I mean, were you always there mentally, but you couldn't physically prove it? Is what I mean. I didn't know how to ask that.
Our first successful coil was after about 20, 25 failures.
But you had the idea when you started, right? You just didn't know how to physically accomplish it.
I just wanted to make a more efficient coil.
Mm-hmm.
Take a generator. A generator, or, well, any coil. Take a transformer. A transformer changes one voltage to another voltage. That's all it does. But it wastes so much in heat that it takes a lot of amperage to do that. I just wanted a more efficient coil. Coils now are 60% efficient at best. You can get them more efficient than that, but they cost a lot of money.
Yeah.
That's all I wanted to do, was make a more efficient coil. These coils, with the geometry in them, which is the vortex math geometry, we are able to eliminate the eddy current. Eddy current is a spot that's imperfect in the coil that creates heat. That heat is wasted. It takes more amperage to create that heat, and we've either eliminated them or captured all of them and reused them.
Ah, see, I didn't know that was possible. See, yeah. I'm from the modern day, right, Larry, where all these words that they use, like, for example, you said transformer. First thing I thought of was that stupid movie with the machines that are robots that turn into cars, and they take...
This makes that possible.
What I mean is the system takes things that are possible and makes them look ridiculous so that we won't pursue, hey, we could do that.
A self-powered Iron Man suit with a coil that weighs 1.5 pounds that gives you 30 amps to power that suit, that's all you need.
Okay, how do you explain that to a person like me that's been brought up with all the bullshit that surrounds survival?
Brainwashing, yeah.
You know, this means that, and so-and-so said this, and here we are in 2020 fighting over fucking oil like a bunch of idiots.
With education of the modern-day man, our thingy does neat stuff.
Hey, that's a good slogan.
I love it.
Our thingy does neat stuff.
Our thingy does neat stuff.
Yeah, you just
man.
Need 20% off while supplies last.
That's good, man.
Oh, here's another thing I'd like you to explain how this would come up in the obsolescence plan, in the planned obsolescence of product to make profit. You can't do that if you tell us the truth.
Well, okay. That's not our goal, because if I sell a generator to somebody that wants it for their house, I don't ever want to see them again.
That's the part people don't believe, Larry. They're okay. Trained. Look at how trained I am. As a salesman, your survival is your repeat customers. See?
Okay. I'm an old man,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So I figure, use it up. Squeeze it out, fix it, or do without. That's my philosophy. I'm an old guy.
Mm-hmm.
My daddy told me a long time ago when electric windows in a car first came out, I said, Dad, why didn't you get electric windows on your new car? And he says, because something always breaks. And the more extra stuff you got, the more stuff you got that's going to break.
He saw it coming, yeah.
Yeah.
I worked for Ford,
KISS
yeah.
Principle.
Yeah. Yeah, KISS principle. Keep it simple, stupid, yeah. And I am the last word.
Yeah.
I am stupid.
Yeah, because I used to be able to change the spark plugs on my 1964 car.
Oh, yeah.
And in 1985, I couldn't find the spark plugs in the fucking car.
Yeah.
Where'd you hide the spark plugs at? What do you mean hide? Well, they're gone. They're not here. Well, yeah, they are. They're underneath. Why? Profit. Obsolescence and necessity. You need this. We're sold all this crap, Larry. And I'm on your side. Free is free. It should be free for everybody. But we're all trained. You got to buy the machines. So you got that advantage going for you. But what the buyer is not going to believe, the part they're going to be skeptical towards is, oh, yeah, well, sure, you'll have me buying add-ons every 6 months. I've got a computer. I know all about that.
Well, we've got one part, one electronic part only on our coil. And all that is a frequency modulation board that costs $2.50 that any idiot can pull out and put a new one back in. And that's it. That's the only thing that can go wrong with our coil for 300 years until the magnets wear out.
You mean as long as I know how to plug in and unplug my mouse on my computer, I'm qualified to operate your coil?
That's it. It's a plug-and-play circuit board.
Wow. Okay. Nice. Now, we've got all this. Okay. But, Larry, you got to realize we've got the modern mind to work against to convince them that this is not another hustle, a scam. Ah, look, these sharpie-talking guys figured out a way to get in our wallet. Because that's what we're trained to believe.
A generator now costs between $2 and $2.50 a watt to make power. And 100 watts is a light bulb, one light bulb. So a 3-foot by 5-foot solar panel that gives you 45 watts isn't even enough to run a light bulb. It takes more energy to create a solar panel than it produces in its entire lifetime. A solar panel is a whole bunch of tiny little photovoltaic cells that each produce a tiny bit of power, all in series. That means, like, just like your Christmas lights, when one of them goes out, that whole panel is dead. that creates toxic waste.
Yep.
So, why?
Well, here's another thing. Look what nuclear did legally with the words that define what they're trying to accomplish. They've managed to convince the public that toxic waste is something bad when toxic waste legally is what they're trying to acquire.
Yeah, that's what they're making.
Right, but they've conned the world into believing the opposite of what they're saying. Because the average Joe doesn't know legally it means something completely different. So in physical reality, you're talking this way. In legal reality, yeah, you're talking another fucking way and you don't even know it.
Yeah.
I've been trying to explain this to people and they don't want to hear it. It's just too ridiculous. Well, and here you are backing up my story.
Every atomic plant in the world is either built on a fault line or a coastline where a tsunami or tidal wave can take it out. Every one of them, according to General Electric, who engineered every single one on the planet, they are made to fail so that GE can sell them more parts. We don't want to sell you more parts. We want you to be happy with something that's going to last you, your grandchildren, and your great-grandchildren.
And that's how it should be.
Yeah, and by then, if there's not a better way to do it, we are in sad shape as a nation.
Well, that goes without saying. Every state nation is fucking sad. And it's not a lot of us that can look beyond all the perks and see the greed and the waste behind it all.
Well, okay, if our generator is successful and gets on the market, we've got every single household in the world to sell to. What bigger audience could you have? I mean, gosh, what do you want?
7 billion customer potential.
Yeah.
Well, everything starts with one.
Yeah.
So.
And boy, do we have
one. So, speaking of that, you had said you're going with the open source plan to roll this out, and you had said that you haven't actually published anything. Where are you at with that?
This group that I'm with now, these guys are so much smarter than I am in so many different fields that when we all get together, everybody adds their little 2 cents into it, and it comes out with a whole picture. An Earth battery, Tesla Tower.
Uh-huh.
Okay, that's a glorified Earth battery.
Okay.
There's a guy in the group that takes his equipment out anywhere he wants to, drives a ground rod into the ground, and attaches to it, and has unlimited power. He can power absolutely anything out of the Earth. The Earth is negative, the sky is positive, and everything in between is some sort of a capacitor. That means something that holds energy.
Right.
Including us, we're a machine.
Yeah. Yeah, we hold a charge.
Yeah. So, with that in mind, this guy's equipment is super duper. But a MOSFET is a set of diodes that makes the power go in one direction.
Right.
Okay. His equipment creates a big spike from 12 volts, which is what he gets out of the ground. With 12 volts, he gets a 3,000 volt spike. And that's blowing up his equipment. So we have first helped him introduce a capacitor and spark gap into his equipment to take that spike out.
Right.
Now, it's
level it off.
Yeah, when it's in his equipment and reused by that specific equipment, it causes problems and burns out components. When you take that and put it into a spark gap and a capacitor, you can use that for something different, or you can put that back, which is the negative side of the circuit, you can put that back into the positive side of the power supply and eliminate that spike.
What does that accomplish, though? All right. So if you eliminate the spike, what becomes of what you're trying to do?
That puts more power back into the circuit and gives him a higher output.
Wow.
You're basically taking the spike and you're storing it.
Yeah.
Instead of spark-damping it off into space.
Oh, so instead of the waste that we're presently creating with our appliances, you're figuring out a way to reuse that waste instead of wasting it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
So, well, here we are in this modern-day world where we've got cell phones and we can talk to France from Portugal. 2 seconds. Boom, boom, boom. And I would assume because of this, people would be more open to your information. But I don't see that.
No, because everybody wants to sell parts.
How do we break? Okay, how do we break into that and fight this consumerism shit with, hey, this is good for you. You only need one, and then you need to buy. Oh, thanks, baby. You need to replace the part once. How often does the card need to be replaced? You're talking about.
Well, that's going to be a major problem.
Okay.
That card could only last about 5 years. But at $2.50 every 5 years, who cares?
Plus the cost of the generator itself. So the longer you live, the better, you know, the better the price is on it, I suppose.
Yeah.
But
and we expect to be able to sell a generator at either a dollar a watt or less.
What is that? Well, give me a value on that so I got some number to attach to.
Normal generators cost $2.50 a watt.
Uh-huh.
And we're going to sell it for one.
Well, what does that cost, though? I mean,
so a 10 kilowatt generator is going to be 10 grand?
It's going to be more like 25 grand.
Well, that's $2.50 a watt.
Yeah.
So you're talking. So
no, I'm talking about one of yours, Larry. One of your generators, a 10 kilowatt generator, would be 10 grand at a dollar a watt.
Yeah.
Exactly. Oh, okay. So, but now if you
as
live.
As opposed to a 10 kilowatt Honda generator, which would cost you about.
So if you live for 30 years after buying this generator, say, for $1,000, we're just going to use round numbers so we can identify it. And then you have these cards you got to spend $2.50 on, so you just probably buy a 30-year supply up front. What does that amount to? But that would be your energy source for 30. Say 30 years. I got 30 years left if I'm lucky, right?
Yeah.
So I'm using myself, not somebody else. I'm just saying, Adam, what I understand what you guys are saying. So that would be, compare that to the monthly electric bill, and boom, you've saved yourself a ton of fiat currency.
Oh, yeah.
Mm.
Well, not only that,
now,
you became independent.
What if the state that you reside in physically doesn't allow you the luxury of being self-sustaining with your electrical sources as they are now? They control everything. You can't get off this fucking grid to be independent because they won't allow you because it's for your safety.
Well, then you build a big-ass laser because you got a power source to power it now.
Okay, Rob.
Well,
they're
taxing solar energy, and that's supposed to be free. You know, the sun's there all the time, and they're still taxing that.
Yeah.
So you're not going to get government out of it. But just like raising your kids, we have got to lead by example.
Yes, sir. Well, I'm willing to back you up all I can, but I'm married to a Dane in this, you know, socialist country that, you know, for our own good and our safety, blah, 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 you got to do things their way or you don't do nothing.
That's the way the United States is.
Right. And as a guest here, married to one of their subjects, I abide by their freaking wants so I don't get my wife in trouble. See, it goes against my nature so many ways. but the results of being married outweigh the bad side, so I stay married. You know what I mean?
Out of respect for circle, you
well, respect. I'm selfish.
Play by the rules within a certain...
Yeah, well, there you go. Because if you were truly a rebel and free, you wouldn't be on the internet talking to Larry and Rob. But I want to be a rebel and be free, but I'm married. So I can only do it on the keyboard.
Right. So, Larry, I'm going to go back to the open source thing, and I asked where you were with that.
Mm.
What are we looking at as a timeline as far as when you're going to be ready to roll an actual product out to the market?
Well, I've only been with this group now for about 6 months, and it's slow going. There's 12 people in the group counting me.
Okay.
And we have to bring everybody up to speed. So it's an educational course. Okay. I teach with another man every single Monday for 4 or 5 hours, and we're getting there. We finally got them understanding that there are better kind of coils than pancake coils.
Uh-huh.
The man with the earth battery is blowing out sections of his pancake coils because of this 3,000 volt spike.
Right.
It'll burn a half an inch of wire, just melt it, make it disappear. So we're getting that understood. We're discussing the safety factors.
Right.
Don't look into the eye of the Gorgon, like they said in Fantastic Planet. That means that
don't stick your head over the coil.
Oh, right. Hey, Larry,
over the hole.
They're trying to find you on Facebook. What is your proper ID at Facebook? Sorry to interrupt.
He found it.
That.
He found it.
Oh, they did find. Okay, I'm
Limitless Energy Technologies. Are you still using that, Larry?
That's it. Yeah.
Okay.
And I post in that everything that you would need to know to do what we're doing. I just don't put it all together for you.
Okay.
I post math on that so that you understand why your stuff is doing what it's doing.
Larry. What if you're like me and I don't really understand the math so much as I do the logic or the reason behind what you explained? You know, the numbers are very fun and all that crap, but that's not my interest. I'm more into the... what I feel. I'm very subjective in how I take in information. If it doesn't feel right, I ignore it. Yours, even with the numbers kind of baffle me, but I go, wow. You understand it. I can trust Larry. I don't need to prove Larry's telling the truth. See? That's where I'm beyond that with you, because I've used your knowledge that you shared and came up with a positive result. So, therefore, I'm going, hey, yeah, Larry said so. I got it. I don't have to doubt you first and then make you prove it. But I'm going to do that on the radio, because otherwise we wouldn't have anything to talk about.
Well, yeah, for everybody else's benefit.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm sold.
I found out that wisdom simply means that you've messed up enough stuff that you know how to fix some of it.
Some. Boy, I'm telling you, because... I live in a perfect world in my mind, but in my physical reality, it's got its flaws.
And that's what electrical math is. That's in the perfect world, and it never works that way.
Well, then why do they call it perfect math if it never works?
Because we're only taught a three-dimensional math. That's volts, ohms, and amps.
Mm-hmm.
When electricity is five-dimensional, volts, ohms, amps, vibration... and magnetism.
Mm. Now, is this old information that you're bringing to the present, or is this version of the answer?
No, this is stuff from the previous civilization.
Okay, all right. That's what I'm saying.
Not even the ancient Egyptians. Mm. Our ancient Egyptians were using technology that was 25,000 years old. From the last procession. Not the current procession.
But, Larry, most people are just trying to figure out who to vote for right now. They can't be bothered with all this.
That's why we're here. We're going to give you a box with wheels on it that you can roll around, and it's got a little box on the outside of it that you run two wires from to your main panel, and you're done for 5 years until you need to change that circuit board.
Yeah. Now, you probably stock up on about 25 of those.
And this machine itself, the generator itself, will never need to be improved. But the card, what if the card needs to be improved?
The card won't need to be improved. All it is it gives you 54 cycles. Every bit of equipment in the world runs on either 50 cycles or 60 cycles. And that equipment runs within efficiently within 10% plus or minus. That means that 54 and 55 cycles per second will operate both pieces of equipment, the European and the American. So,
and it'll also be in harmony.
Yeah, it'll be in harmony with nature at 432. If that's middle A, 54 is low A. 54 times 8 is 432. So it's in harmony. It's a choir that everybody is singing in key rather than the kind of power that we have now that's 440 frequency that is not in harmony with nature. It's making people sick.
Cacophony.
Yeah. And it was established sometime during the Second World War.
Well, you know, being the devil's advocate with you two is... I'm having fun with it, but I'm really stretching to find argument. You know, I'm creating an argument that I don't support to give you an opportunity to explain why you're right and the rest of the world is wrong. And that's the core of everything. When you go against the grain and, oh, look at all the mistakes these idiots made, and then the average Joe, all he sees is roads and buildings and success because he's got a small brain. Doesn't have the interest in the first place to look beyond what he sees.
All we want these days is convenience. That's why they're putting in 5G that's going to kill people.
People don't believe that either.
No.
Weapons-grade freaking technology right in front of you. All you got to do is read about it. It's been written about plenty of times. But look at the news. 5G is going to make your movie come on your phone faster, people. Wow.
It's going to make you sterile just like the Wi-Fi in schools. When your daughter goes from kindergarten to 12th grade in a Wi-Fi field, 50% of those little girls are going to be sterile. A little fewer percentage of the boys are going to be sterile.
But that's what society promotes.
What's that going to do?
That's what society promotes. That's what they want. The system wants that friction and that confusion and that despite and hatred towards yourself to reproduce. They don't want you to reproduce. It's bad for the environment. It's bad for the population. A bunch of shit. Nonsense. Why?
You can eliminate that problem by going hardwire.
Right, but they've sold us through all these technologies that are really wasteful, wastes of time. And when you say that out loud, boy, I've had my ass kicked on the radio plenty of times because I think everybody's doing everything fucking wrong. Except me, because I know better.
Well, that's the way I feel about it. Everybody's crazy but me.
Now, how do we eliminate that judgment from the idea that you're presenting to us? You got something that's really good. I've tried to make this a point before, and it was a miserable failure. People didn't like it. Free energy? What are you, stupid? You got to dig for oil and get solar. Oh, please. No, you don't. You ever hear of Nikola Tesla, you monkeys? Fuck, even I know who Nikola Tesla was, and I'm an idiot.
Let's go to that for just a minute.
That's why I brought him up, sir.
We have made some changes to the Tesla Tower, but it's still just an Earth battery, period. That's all it is. That's all a Tesla Tower is an Earth battery. It's absorbing the energy, the negative energy. I don't want to say it like that. The neutral charge from the earth is being absorbed and turned into power through a Tesla tower. What our coil does, take a Tesla tower with the big donut on the top of it. We put our coil on the top. We put a spiral coil, a 9-circuit spiral coil under that, and spin a magnet in it. That 9-circuit coil is simply 9 circuits that make 3 rotations from the outside to the center of the coil. When you energize that with the 12 volts that we get AC from the other coil, then all you got to do is put a ball magnet in it, and it spins 3,000 RPMs a second. All by itself. Well, with the 12 volts AC powering.
Well, with the power from the coil.
Yeah. So that magnet spinning, and that induces a charge into not only that coil, an additional charge, into not only that coil, but a 12-circuit coil that's above it and below it. So with the proper orientation, you can make that whole thing levitate simply by putting the same magnetic fields together. You can eliminate the weight of that piece of equipment.
Nice.
So it's just mutual induction. You run that down through a barber pole. Tesla's center coil, his tubular coil, was all wound just round and round. Our center coil is wrapped like a barber pole so that it compresses that magnetic field and puts through induction, drives that magnetic field down to a pancake coil that's all the way at the bottom. So you're collecting out of 4 coils instead of 1.
Nice.
So it's just a way to get more power out of a Tesla system.
Right.
Well, listening to you is a lot like listening to that Nassim Harriman guy. He's very simple. Just took this quantum physics stuff that usually gets I don't got time to try to figure out your crap. And he made it simple, and he used common sense things to define really, really small things and really, really big things. And in a way, just put it in a sense of, in one way, we're all equal, and in another way, it's a matter of perspective. See, it's where you're looking at or from that matters.
It's not that we're all equal. We're all the same. We're all connected to the same field.
When you say matter of perspective, think about a cylinder. If you shine a light from the side of a cylinder, it'll look like a rectangle in the shadow. If you shine it from the end of a cylinder, it'll look like a circle in the shadow. Mm-hmm. It's all a matter of perspective, how you look at things.
Well, how do you encourage a perspective open to see what you're showing people? Because that's the problem. It's the delivery of the information that we get, and we're trained to accept it in certain ways because we see it from certain vantage points. And what you say is so clear to me, and I don't understand how anybody else couldn't see it. So it's simply, so I'm kind of lost.
Well, I'm kind of weird. I see everything in the ancient rock drawings and rock reliefs as some sort of a power device. Mm-hmm. I look at ancient Polish runes, the very first things that they used for language, a written language. And out of 20 symbols, 6 of them are either proton accelerators or plasma generators. They're not words. They may have been used to convey some thought, but they're not words. They're not writing. They're electrical symbols. And you can see that in almost all of the original script from different people, the runes from the different civilizations.
If you're taught what to look for, or if you have that knowledge, why would you even put that? If you have that interest, because some people, like myself, I'm not interested in something until somebody makes a point about it that I can understand. Then, hey, well, I didn't see it like that. And that's what I'm looking for with this free energy concept, because the word free has been so butchered by society.
It's a misnomer, too. It's not free energy.
Yeah, you're going to have to buy it from me because I'm not going to make it for nothing. Okay? But after that, then the energy that is produced is so low in expense that it's like being free.
Oh, yeah, compared, sure. Yeah. And then the results, it's like when I compared the people that lived 100 years ago, I was talking about it on the dark table, and I said, oh, those people had it so hard. And I said, I don't think so. Their animals were more than likely able to feed on hemp. So when you slaughtered your animal, you weren't eating modern-day pesticides and poisons and God only knows what. You're eating, you know, a natural animal eating natural products. And I think that mentality changed when we went to synthetics. That the hard life is the modern day, and the easy life is the old way when things were slower. And yeah, we didn't have all this shit to think about and decisions to make about what bank to borrow from to buy your fucking house. Like, there's a difference, you know? Oh, but I can save 0.25% if I go with John Smith. But Mary Jones, she wants an extra. I mean, crying out fucking loud. It's nonsense. But do we not accept it as reality? As a collective? Yeah. Now, how do we get out of that crap and get into a small investment in your future could pay off tremendously? It sounds just like everything else that I've ever heard in the long run, but the details are different here.
Yeah, we don't want to see you again unless you're buying one for your kid.
How do you get that across, though, Larry? I believe you, but I don't know how anybody else has ever done it.
Well, okay. At $5,000 for a 5-kilowatt unit, which is more than enough to run most houses, and if you need more power, put two of these things in series. We've got a 17 coil system that operates off of ball magnets. Okay? You spin a big ball magnet in one big coil that you have to put AC power into, which comes off of one of our other coils. And that spins the ball magnets in 16 other coils, making them produce energy for no cost, for just the cost of spinning that one magnetic ball. And it doesn't take hardly anything to do that, and we're getting that for free out of the coil anyway. So,
and how much does the system generate?
Enough for a small industry, and we could make it for megawatts if we made it big enough.
So it's scalable.
Yeah. Everything is scalable from small to big. With metal printing, 3D printing now, that means that every coil and every piece of electronic equipment, your cell phones, your computers, your TVs, everything that's electronic can be made cheaper, run cooler, with smaller wire, and no iron cores. A 1500 watt, which is 1500 watt light bulbs, a 1500 watt iron core is 8 inches around, and it costs $105. Our 6 circuit coil is 8 inches around. If you spent $25 to make the donut, you got $3 worth of wire on it, and you're done.
I like that idea.
$28 as opposed to just the $105 coil that they put a lot more wire on to achieve the same thing.
With a lot of waste.
Yeah. With a lot of weight, yeah.
Right. Well, see, I'm so clear on that waste concept, and I don't think other folks so much are. They don't see the waste because they see the result produced by the thing, and they don't seem to get
the
point.
They don't take into consideration the heat that's generated.
Yeah, that's a natural product of the... No, it's not. It's pretty much a planned obsolescence right in front of you, telling you
what
so.
What happens when you build an inefficient system?
Right, but they tell us so, Rob, and they tell us all the time, planned obsolescence, and we just accept it as a collective. Why?
No, I don't.
Profits. Oh, please. I could find a lot of Jew bankers that would shoot you dead, son. Are you kidding? They want you
let's
quiet.
Let's get back to the science.
Okay.
Larry, one of the things that Nassim Harman talks about is how everything is a singularity.
Yeah.
Singularity. Singularity is another word for black hole.
Yeah.
And so everything from a proton all the way up to the universe we live in is a singularity, a black hole. The sun is a black hole. The earth is a black hole. Every atom in your body is a black hole.
You got it. And the sun is not an atomic explosion. I'm sorry. It's a plasma event.
Right. That makes sense.
Whoa, you guys are going to change history then. Because I got told a bunch of other stuff.
If it were an atomic explosion when there was a coronal emission, the spot that's left cold on the sun would be hotter, because the closer you get to an atomic explosion, the hotter it is. That's not what we see. We see when that emission comes off the sun, there's a cold spot. That means it's an electrical discharge. I can recreate everything in the universe in an electrical laboratory. The dust clouds, the spiral clouds, the tree-shaped root clouds, the everything. You can reproduce that in an electrical laboratory. That's why I know that the universe is electric.
Yeah, well, you know, when you throw all this religion and politics into the soup, then it starts to muddy the waters, so you really, you can't see it clearly because you're being distracted by made-up stories that you believe are true because somebody told you so.
And why is it religion?
I'm using an example.
Because in the old days, the priests did not have to work. They were supported by the people. Therefore, they could have the knowledge.
Oh, then when they weren't either qualified or couldn't read. You know, they weren't allowed to read.
Nassim ties together, too, because he even goes, because all these religions are based on these ancient texts and knowledge that people had. For example, like in the Bible, in the front of the Bible, he points out that the word God in Hebrew is actually, when you directly translate it, translates to tetragrammaton.
Really?
Yeah.
That didn't make any sense.
Were you aware of that, Larry?
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
And
tetragrammaton.
In the book of Numbers, where Moses numbers his tribes and their flocks and his armies, and gives them specific places to camp at night,
right?
Those are transformer frequencies. And when he made his people, certain groups, camp in the north, south, east, and west,
right?
Those were transformer configurations. That
blueprints.
Each did a different thing. Yeah.
It was a blueprint for a camp that generates power just by its nature of configuration.
Yeah.
Wow, you guys make it well. See, it sounds like math is the way to explain this. Okay, but math has been made so out of my reach by the academics of life. Oh, he's a mathematician, and oh, he's a this and that. Oh, Einstein said, and all this crap, right? So I'm kind of intimidated by the pompous attitude of the intellectual today. So it makes me go, fuck them all. So I come into you guys that go, hey, we can take a very complicated thing, make it very simple for you if you want to hear it. Here you go.
And the theory of relativity is wrong. It's E equals the square root of MC. Because in a magnetic field, okay, according to his theory, the faster you go, the more energy it takes. The more energy it takes and the faster you go, the more mass you accumulate. Therefore, it takes so much more energy to do it. That's wrong. In a magnetic field, when you establish that magnetic field, you have captured that moment in time and space in that magnetic field, and you carry that with you. As you go faster in space in a magnetic field and your mass grows, that's fine because the faster you go, the more energy you produce in our electric universe. The more energy you produce, that eliminates the drag because you've still got all the power you need to keep going faster. Faster than light travel is possible.
And I had a vision of a guy on a football field running with the ball, and then all everybody behind him, you know, 20 yards behind him, they're all running up to catch him. They can't because he's faster, he's lighter, he's faster. But, but you know what I mean? I was just saying that guy running to the end zone to score his touchdown, and he's dragging 20 guys behind him that can't catch him. No matter what they do, they can't catch him. Why do they do this? What are they showing us with sports? You know, what illusion are we visually seeing that fuels this, we can't do this other stuff? Because, see, we just showed you, and it doesn't, I can't translate it, the vision I have to words. You know, because the guy's running with a football doesn't, if they everybody stopped behind him, would he stop? No. Because he's moving forward, running away, right?
Yep.
Well, how does he even know they're chasing him? Because it's in the rules. They have to. Well, I guess what I'm going to is there's invisible rules to force in life that we don't acknowledge. We assume them because we see them on TV.
And we've been told that it can't happen, and we believe what we were told.
Exactly. I just don't know how to put words to that would paint that picture for everybody to see what I was trying to define.
My dad never told me that there was something I could not do. He said, try it and find out.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Because when I was swimming, some of these kids were a foot taller than me, and I could beat them in the water. And nobody could think, wow, how do you do that? I don't know. I just swim.
Schauberger.
Fear. I don't want them to catch me. But I don't. We're talking some ideas here that average Joe would never even discuss them with anybody. And probably just think stuff all by themselves, and then they resort to television and internet to find an answer. And the answers that we're given are all designed to hit our sweet spot.
Well, you've got people that listen to you that are building coils, right?
I would hope so. It'd be you? I don't know.
No, me. But there's a lot of guys out there that are making coils. And a lot of guys that are involved in Roden math and vortex math. So I've got an extensive electrical background. That means I've been shocked a bunch of times. But I see everything as a motor or a generator or some sort of a machine, and that may or may not be a good thing. But if the people out there would let go of their book learning, of their basic knowledge. You gotta have a basic knowledge, but you gotta move beyond that. We're so trapped in what they told us in school, that no, copper's copper and you can't change it. We're not changing anything. All we're doing is allowing it to do all that it can do.
Well, let me ask you a question about the copper. That might be kind of weird. Can man's mining principles and practices change the ability of the copper wire to produce whatever you're trying to get?
No, I think that copper as a base element is always going to be copper. Okay. But you can allow it to exchange more electrons. Okay, let's go into that a bit.
I mean, can you mix it with other metals to make it stronger or more efficient or whatever you might want to be trying to get to?
Okay, there's a process called doping, which is simply electrolysis, that's been done since forever. Forever there has been electrolysis, almost. Back to the caveman days. And
it happens naturally, naturally occurring.
The Native Americans had piles of lodestone, magnetic rocks, around their base camps, around where they moved from season to season. And those rocks, in association with a piece of copper or a piece of metal of some sort, will stop pain. They heal. They make wounds heal faster. They make broken bones heal faster. It's the magnetic fields interacting with the conductors that do all this stuff.
I thought it was the doctor that was doing it. See what I mean? Simple.
The doctor just takes your money and tells you to go home and take two aspirin. Yes.
Okay, I know that quacks. From my experience, but other people who are dependent on the system for survival have a different look at medical. They don't
I've got arthritis in both knees so bad that some days I can't walk.
Hmm.
When I get like that, I put a magnet on it and chase the pain. You put a magnet on it that draws the iron in your blood to that point in your body that enlarges your capillaries, brings the white blood cells to that point in your body, and makes your own body heal that spot.
And what size and type of magnet are you referring to here?
Any of them.
I mean, does it have to be a big or a what's no. I don't know. What size of magnet would do that?
I've got some round magnetic patches that are just specially made. They're more one pole than the other, but that doesn't really matter in the magnet. It does, but not in this case. And you put that on the spot that hurts, and that spot will stop hurting.
Oh, what I meant, but Larry, what I meant was a magnet the size of what? A watch, the size of a nickel, a quarter, a dollar? I don't know.
About the size of a silver dollar.
Okay, so something you could put in the palm of your freaking hand.
Yeah.
And you could put it on, say, your knee and just take your hand away and leave it there?
Yeah.
Okay, how long does this process take for it to be effective?
On me, it takes about 30 seconds.
Wow.
And that spot will stop hurting, and another spot close to it will start.
Uh-huh.
And I just move the magnet, and pretty soon you can move the magnet to all the spots that have hurt, and none of them will hurt anymore.
Wow. Because I've been using rosehip, and it's worked.
Oh, yeah, rosehip is great. Herbs are great, but you don't have to have them to solve many problems.
Okay, I see what you mean. Yeah, so here's an alternative.
Herbs are for a chemical imbalance.
Uh-huh. So you're offering an alternate solution to an existing problem is all.
Yeah,
You're not replacing anything. You're just offering, hey, you can try this. This might work for you.
Yeah.
Because that's what we lack in life, man. People don't, they seem to always want a profit when they're trying to help you. So it's made me skeptical towards my fellow man because, well, what do you want?
What do you want, man? You got to want something.
And I don't really see you as the one guy. You're the one guy I don't see wants anything.
Oh, well, yeah, I do. I do. I want people to be free of the burden of having to pay for your power every month. I want this project to provide a good living for both of my young partners. That's it. Mm-hmm. I'm an old man. I've got everything that I want. I've got all this stuff that I want. Mm-hmm. All I want now is a hug every now and then. That makes me happy.
Whoa. Well, yeah, that's kind of how I see. You're a little older than me. I hit 60 this last year. So
I hit 70.
Yeah. Well, I didn't forget the details, but I know you're a little older than I am. Rob's a little younger, but it's not the age or the time of life that you grew up in that seems to matter. It seems to me to be the willingness you have to listen to opposition. Because you're very opposite to what everything I've ever been told as a life form on this planet to survive. You need this, and you need that. Here comes Larry going, you need to rearrange the process and do it properly. You're doing it wrong. That's what I heard. That's all. Not a bad thing, not a good thing. Just you're close, but you're not quite there. It's 54, not 60, monkey.
Yeah. And the people that are doing these coils and these experiments, some of these guys are brilliant in their own area, but have no electrical background, so they don't know that this stuff that they can't see and can't feel is killing them.
Right. Oh, yeah. It's like the nuclear argument. You know, there's so many people, like me, I'm not sold on it, but other people are. I don't know how to explain it to anybody, but if you can't see it, you can't touch it, you can't smell it, what is it? More of that stuff. Well, then you get into electricity, though, and then if you handle your electricity properly, it doesn't hurt you. If you handle it improperly, guess what? You're going to find yourself on your butt going, how the fuck did this happen? You know, with a pair of needle nose in your hand with a hole in the size of a dime in the center of it. That 220 has a kick, baby, let me tell you.
Larry,
yes.
Have you thought about or contemplated or worked on any kind of way to possibly, the guys in the chat room have been talking about 5G and stuff, and I know that's one of your passions, just the Wi-Fi stuff in the classrooms and the kids and making them sterile. Have you thought about some way to neutralize that radiation with some type of harmonic oppositional frequency broadcast or something along those
lines? Absolutely. Absolutely. I have provided the people that made the Tesla Tower in Texas, outside of Waco, I have provided them with the safe frequencies to broadcast in.
Uh-huh.
They've got them. Whether they use them or not, that's up to them. But yes,
why I'm talking about an active
absolutely.
Neutralization type.
Absolutely.
Setup.
When it's broadcast in the proper frequencies, this stuff will make you more healthy.
Right,
now it's going to be harmful to everybody.
I get that, but what I'm saying is okay, they're doing it now. I'm bathed in 5G right now. Hot Springs is completely covered, according to the T-Mobile coverage map of 5G, which also the entire country is. Almost everywhere is already rolled. 5G is already rolled out everywhere. Is basically what they're saying. So, would it be possible to set up some type of broadcast system that can broadcast, you know how like noise cancellation works?
That's what I used to do. Yep.
So like you could create a set of frequencies that when broadcast would neutralize sound. Okay, so you wouldn't be able to hear anything or a certain thing. can we do something along those lines with Wi-Fi radiation, 5G, whatever? Yeah,
absolutely. Change the frequency that it's projected at. That's all you got to do.
Well, and I understand that. That's not what I'm asking.
How do you change the frequency at your will? If you don't know
if we could change the broadcast frequency, that would be great.
Right, but for me,
okay. Assuming we stop, Flash.
But Rob,
We can't change the broadcast. They're going to broadcast their shit however they want to. Can we come up with a signal antenna that I could put out in my yard and broadcast a signal that will neutralize the 5G radiation?
Yes, but they'll come and put you in jail because you have stopped their system from working in that area.
Okay, so you don't put it at your own house.
Wow. Oh, yeah.
Put it on your mayor's house.
Set it up at the fire station or something.
They would appreciate that.
Wow, so you can't even fight it?
No.
Because I read all the laws were written well ahead of time to, you can't fight this in court outside of the aesthetics of the 5G implement. The thing they use to give it to you, the only legal course you have is you don't like the way it looks. You can't argue its health benefits in court.
It all boils down to he who has the most money wins.
Yeah, who has the gold makes the rules.
So there is an answer to it, but you can't use the answer because what? And you guys wonder why I'm so against
because it cuts into somebody's profit, and then they can't get a new yacht.
Well, there's not a frequency out there that cannot be canceled.
That was my point. I kind of knew that, but I wanted to hear it from you.
and that's the way Lee Scallon lifted his rocks. He canceled the subatomic frequency of that particular stone.
Yeah. And made it ignore gravity.
Made it ignore gravity. Push it with your finger.
I know. I've been to that place, and I saw it with my own eyes, and it was just amazing.
Yeah. I went there when I was 14 years old.
Wow. Still
at Coral Gables, and it is amazing.
Yeah, I saw it in 91,
cool
I think.
Stuff.
It was
and
in
they don't even
Coral
know
Gables.
All the secrets that he was using.
Oh, yeah, they do. We sure they do. Some of them. They bought them up, and they stopped anybody from using them.
Yep.
Oh, man. You know what? As soon as you talk to more than 10 people about something that's true, the government intervenes and shuts you down.
Oh, yeah. Can't be having none of that.
Because, so you know, the bigger your audience is, the closer you're getting to being silenced.
Don't be trying to get all independent over there. Nope. We need you dependent and subject to whatever we decide.
I know, Rob. Isn't that something?
Fucking assholes.
Well, and it's all based on money. You tell people that. Even the religious people go, money is the root of all evil and all that nonsense. But dig a little deeper.
But they still charge you tithing of 10% of everything you make, don't they?
Yeah, because God can't handle a checkbook.
Yeah, throw it up in the air. What God wants, he'll take.
Yeah, George Carlin taught me that part.
Yep.
But I don't know.
Yeah, and then they'll tell you to render under Caesar.
Ooh. Are you Caesar?
Hell no.
Am I Caesar? Then who's the hell is Caesar?
The government.
Maybe we're all Caesar. Mm-hmm. Well, in this life that we're experiencing. Hold on. My hit.
Take another hit.
I already hit. Anyway. In this life that we're experiencing, okay, we are indoctrinated to believe certain things beyond our control, okay? I know it. I'm a victim of it myself in some areas. In some areas, I escaped it. I'm hoping electricity is one of the escapes I accomplished. I know I got free of cannabis and hemp, but this electric world is so complex and there's so seemingly much to it that it's overwhelming. And then when you take it down to the level that you guys talk about it at, then it makes it simple. Okay, so I see the answer. But I don't think other people want a simple answer. They want to be dazzled with the lights and the flashy words and all that kind of shit.
Yeah. Well, they're so used to being bullshitted that it's they don't, like, if it's not full of bullshit, they don't believe it.
It's like wiring a building.
Hmm.
When it's finished, you've got 10 miles worth of wire in one building.
Mm-hmm.
But to do it, you do it one wire at a time.
Yep. Yeah. Okay. You got me there. You got me there. Well, I'm just not feeling particularly hopeful in this time of history with, you know, what I see on the internet webs and the way people get along with each other for the most part. It's just appalling. All the competition and the better thans, and I know this and I know that. You don't know shit. You're a fucking idiot. You're this. You're that. And it's so, it's distraction from concepts like what you're presenting, Larry, and the questions Rob's got for you. Because my questions were just to make you answer stuff to prove yourself. Yeah. And it worked, because you do. I've yet to be able to catch you in a corner that you painted yourself into and say, yeah, Larry was wrong. But I'm still trying. I'm doing my best, but I don't know. I can't find a way.
We can all do it. We can all do it. Everybody in the world knows stuff that I do not know. And I want to know what they know.
Open source, then, would be, seem to me to be...
I've always been a big believer in open source, that's for sure.
Yeah, but you were way back there in the beginning when people were still looking at it like, ah, it's fire, it could hurt me, you know? Well,
yeah,
that's how we are with new things. Like,
open source is an advertising war, and I don't want to do that.
Well, what do you... Okay, all right, here we're at the end. We got 20, 30 minutes or so left, right? Why don't you guys go on and tell me what you want, and tell and in a way that I'll want it too.
Energy independence
for everyone.
Yeah.
No matter what color. What about that nigger in the corner? Him too?
Yep.
I don't care.
I'm just playing. I don't either. I just like to say bad words on the radio because it makes people sweat.
Crazy nut.
Well, yeah, but you know.
It don't matter if you're purple or orange.
No, there's a saying. There's a saying, and I know you've heard it, Flesh. It's a big deal in the sales world. It's called a rising tide raises all ships.
There you go.
So it can do nothing but good for everyone. If everyone becomes energy independent, you take all of the power away from the powers that be. Because that's how they control us, is through energy.
Yeah.
Through the monopolies on oil and power generation and all the different things, hydropower, wind power, solar, all of that. The big corps have all that shit wrapped up. But if you come out with a device that you can buy for $5,000 and have power for the rest of your life, enough power to run a home...
And then, on top of that, Rob, when you get more people wanting something, it brings the costs down.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Mass production brings
scarcity
prices down,
makes things expensive because, oh, look at the rich guy can have it, but you can't, poor fucker.
It's like, Larry, you said, you know, you're talking $25 for the toroid and $5 worth of wire.
Yeah.
To build one of these coils plus a $2.50 circuit board.
Yeah.
That's getting really cheap.
Well, you can put bells and whistles on it and gauges and lights and wheels on it and everything else to make it more expensive. But the basic 5-kilowatt unit.
The principle.
Yeah. That's going to be a couple hundred bucks.
It's basic and simple. And most people don't need all the bells and whistles.
Yeah.
All they need to know is that when you turn the damn light switch on, the freaking light comes on.
So Larry wants me to live as long as at least Larry has, with a better quality of physical fucking life, not some drudgery. Work, make me money. Go over there
and
do this for me.
What happens is what will happen is as people become independent from all this crap, they will have time to raise up from the get their nose off the damn grindstone long enough to look around, see what the fuck's going on around them.
Mm.
Well, like, that's the problem. They got everybody running through the damn rat race, spinning their wheels, chasing the dollar, trying to keep their head above water and feed their family.
Yeah. Look at the prices. That tells you what you need to know.
And look
at transportation.
Mm-hmm.
Look at transportation. We've got designs for electric self-powered helicopters that have no batteries, self-powered cars that have no batteries, that you drive to work, and when you get to work, you plug into the building to charge the building from your car.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
So this is the free power is simply the very first baby step.
The implications are insanely massive.
I saw a link of a teenage schoolgirl that had designed a flashlight that worked off the power of her body as a source of energy. And this is years ago. And then it disappeared. Yeah. It's gone. Poof. Where'd it go? Or and here's another example, is the carburetor that runs on water.
Mm-hmm.
Where'd that go? All these things that are, you know, well, we can't do this because we need this.
It's a matter of national security.
Yeah, it's a load of crap. Well, you can't convince people that they're being lied to by their government. You sound like a nut when you do that to these yo-yos.
By national, we mean oligarchy.
They support, they believe the lies. They can't help it. It's in their indoctrination. We're fighting a real big fire with a squirt gun. And I'm not going to quit because of it.
That's why I applaud you, Larry, for going to the open source.
Big time.
I said it all along. It's the only way we're going to beat these people. The greed factor is what's really screwing it up for everyone.
How do you avoid the greed factor, though?
Keep ownership of your idea, which was never your idea to begin with, because it all comes out of the ether anyway. All the ideas come from the same place.
But how do you avoid the greed thing?
To say somebody owns an idea is completely ludicrous and ridiculous.
To us, not to the person that thinks they own it. They believe that shit.
Yeah, well, fuck them. The point is we need people like you, Larry, and that have these things to get over that hump of I've got to make a living and stay. And you're in that position in life where you've already got what you need. You're not doing this for money. You're doing it because you want to give something back to humanity.
I'm doing it because it thrills me to death.
Well, yeah, and that.
I love
it. There is that. So, yeah, just doing something that really can totally change the course of humanity. And we've got to get it out there. That's the thing.
Yeah.
So that's my big deal is what needs to happen is you need to come up with a easy to follow set of plans.
Yes.
And
we've done that.
Publish that shit far and wide.
We're doing that in the FESIG group.
Right. Yeah, that's what I'm gathering.
So. Yeah, that open source group. We're writing a technical manual. We're writing a safety manual. I'm helping the guys with their grounding and their test equipment, how they set it up, the power that they use for it. Mm-hmm. Every outside power source that you've got around your room is influencing the electrical stuff that you've got in your room.
Yeah.
So you've got to balance that.
Right.
And that's what I'm helping these guys do with their testing facilities.
Right.
But yeah, we're well on the way, and I'd like to help some of these other people out there in your audience that are making coils by giving them a few real good steps that they need to follow.
Okay. I actually want to be one of those people, and I have another friend that is going to be just all up in this stuff. He's the one that actually turned me on to Nassim Haramein.
So that all sounds wonderful. Are you still open to visitors?
Me?
Yeah.
I didn't want to get into this, but we've had a visit, and I was told cease and desist. We know who you are. We know where you live. Stop.
Well, that's not what I was trying to go at. I'm just talking more along the lines of me coming to see you.
Well, yeah.
And, you know, get a firsthand look at what you got and all
yeah,
that.
Yeah, we could do that.
Oh.
The people in the group have made coils, and they're doing the experimentation on them at this point because all of them have better equipment than I do to test with.
Okay.
So this is sort of spread out around the world.
Okay.
We've got
good. That's a good thing.
Oh yeah.
But what state are you in, Larry?
I'm in Missouri.
Missouri. Yeah. Right. He's in Arkansas, so it's not you're talking.
Yeah, I moved a lot closer to you since the last time we were on the radio, Larry. Yeah.
All right.
I'm only about 4 or 5 hours away from you now.
Oh, great.
What was the name of the town you're close to?
Kansas City.
Okay.
town.
Well, there
Kansas
was a smaller
City.
Town. It was a, you said city. I meant the little town that you're close to. I remember you told us once.
Yeah, I'm in Independence.
Independence. That's right. So it's just like almost due north. I'm in Hot Springs, Arkansas right now.
Yeah,
so,
straight up 71 Highway.
Yeah. So you would know the distance from here to there more better than I would. But what are we looking? 4 or 5 hours drive?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I would very much like to come and see you and
go fishing or he
tour
won't,
your
he
your,
won't like it, Rob. Take him fishing. Huh? If you don't take Larry fishing, he's not going to like you.
Well, he needs to come down here for that. We've got very nice lakes for fishing, Lake Hamilton, Lake Wachita, and
I've fished Wachita before, and that is a phenomenal lake.
Well, there you go. Well, you have a reason to come see me, and I have a reason to come see you.
Wow. See, the power of the internet and communication when it's handled properly.
Since we got shut down, I am now making fishing lures.
Oh, cool.
A buddy of mine borrowed one of my lures, one of my spinnerbaits that my father and I made years ago. And we changed it by putting a snap swivel on it to hold the blade so that you can change the blade.
Oh, okay.
And he picked that idea up and ran with it. And we've got a buzz bait frame with regular spinner bait things on it. And we just started last year and I've been catching fish till he laid a chunk on that thing.
Wow.
We've got different sizes, different shapes. Everything's got a changeable blade. They work well.
Well, you guys make it sound like everything can be improved with a little patience.
Yeah.
It can.
You know, if you just sit and look at it long enough and think about it, hey, this is how it'll work. Let's try that. Well, I still feel a part of the world that's timid and afraid to try something they don't know. Because I'm attached to it. Now I'm married into it, you know. But before when I was, like, wandering and whatnot, that's the attitude I carried. Hey, what's over that hill? What's down that road? What's down this river?
Yeah.
And now I'm safe.
There's not enough curiosity in the world anymore.
Yeah. Now I'm stable.
I was just thinking about that the other day. You know, people aren't curious anymore. They don't want to explore.
Well, I still explore, but just mentally, Rob.
I'm not talking about you.
Oh,
we're convenience-oriented.
Talking about the idiots out there in the world.
But I'm an idiot out there in the world. I know it. Just a different flavor.
No, you're not.
Thanks, Rob. I appreciate that.
you're smart enough to realize that maybe you don't know everything, but there's things out here that can change the world, and it's being kept away from us.
See,
the things we've missed out of and lost out on are extreme.
It's a
the
group
extreme
yeah.
oppression that we live under,
hmm?
Just based on lost opportunity?
Well, it's a group-based venture, but we're taught to do it in an individual fashion that's doomed to failure.
Yeah.
You can't accomplish nothing alone.
Everyone for himself, but we're all in it together.
What?
Stop making sense, Rob.
We're all in it together, but you're
on your own.
No, before we get finished here, I'd like to help some of these guys that are making coils out with a couple of real easy fixes.
Okay, Larry, you have the floor.
When you're winding your coils, the reason that the transformers and things that we've got now producing power only do one thing each is because of the iron core.
Okay.
The iron core limits it to one thing. Once that iron core saturates, your magnetic field cannot build any farther. We've eliminated that so that the magnetic field can build as much as it wants. Just take out the iron core, do everything air core. That will handle higher frequency. It's got a higher switching capability. It produces less heat. There's a lot of things about it that's good. Multi-circuit. A one-circuit coil only does one thing. Multi-circuits. That way you spread out the amperage. You divide it equally between all of those circuits. That's how you get more amperage out of the wire. It's not changing the properties. That's just how you get more amperage out of it, because you're putting less amperage through each individual circuit.
Gotcha.
Also, don't cross your wires. Every time you cross the wires, every time you twist them together, that collapses that magnetic field. Hold your hand out flat. Your fingers are all running right next to each other.
Uh-huh.
That's the way the wires should run.
Right.
Flat and not one set on top of the other.
That's the whole point of internet cable or Cat 5 cable. It's called twisted pair wiring. That keeps the magnetic field from being interfered with.
Yeah, and when the magnetic field is collapsed like that, you don't get static on your line.
Right.
That's
the whole point of
twisted
pair wiring on Cat 5 cables.
Yeah.
Sorry, just wanted to interject that. Keep going.
Yeah. Okay, so you put two circuits next to one another and leave an empty spot. That's 1, 2, 3.
Okay.
You put two more circuits together, that's 4, 5, and leave an empty spot. That's 6. That gives you your 3, your 6, and you move around to the other side of the next 2, and that gives you your 9. 3, 6, 9.
Okay.
9 is the transition point between positive and negative, where all of the power happens.
Okay.
But when you're running in AC, you're running in both directions almost simultaneously.
Right.
So when you wrap one circuit clockwise, the circuit next to it has got to be wound counterclockwise. That keeps the magnetic field rotating in the same direction all the time, allowing it in a 12-circuit coil to create 3 perfect vortexes, 3 perfect tornadoes that are circulating in the ring of that donut to increase the magnetic field in the center. That, boys, is what's going to make your coil work. That's where the magic is. We increase the magnetic field from 4,000 milligauss to 18,000 milligauss just by doing that.
Wow.
Hey, you know, excuse me, Rob, but I just thought of something. Maybe instead of approaching this as a form of free energy, maybe the word free needs to be removed out of the equation.
I agree.
Absolutely.
100%.
All right.
Free energy was created by the detractors.
Right, right.
Most people never even called it that. Most people called it zero point energy. or cheap energy or something along those lines.
Well, I'm just suggesting energy is just where you're gathering the power from.
It comes from the ether.
It comes from the nine.
Right, but to build up your audience, you've got to have in this time in life an advertising slogan that catches people's attention. And free energy has just been fucked over so badly.
I agree. The term has been used as a weapon against this.
Okay, so maybe it's time.
And it's just like it's like saying conspiracy theorists, same kind of shit.
Right. But maybe it's time for the people that are doing it, like Larry, to come up with a descriptive word to sell the concept to the public to listen to his answer. Yeah. Because that's what this is. It's a salesman thing.
Mm-hmm.
I've got the slogan that's going to catch everybody, and they're all going to line up. Well, you got the same thing going on here without the repeat business. And that's never going to...
How about solid-state energy creation?
Well, all I'm saying is that's not going to bring investors in.
That's basically what it is, right, Larry?
Yep.
Solid-state energy?
Well... In ours, it's not even solid state because it's not electronic.
Oh, wow. Ouch. That just dented my skull.
But it's still solid. I mean, solid state just means there's no moving parts.
Yeah. The man that made the Earth battery that works, he's got about $400 worth of capacitors and resistors and diodes and all kinds of funny stuff.
Yeah.
We have eliminated every single piece of electronic equipment except the frequency modulation board.
Yeah.
That's it.
Is that like looking at a motherboard, Larry? What is a frequency modulation board?
It's like a volume switch on your radio.
Oh, okay. So it's not a board, it's a dial?
It's a dial.
All right.
It's a dial.
All right. Because, see what I mean? Words mean different things depending on what you've been taught they mean. So I have to decipher sometimes what you're talking about to understand.
Yeah, like the dial you use on a stereo to change the FM station, that's a frequency modulator. Yeah.
Right. Okay, now how do you change a frequency with your mind so that you can be on the right frequency? That's what I'd like to know.
Take your shoes off.
Yeah.
Go outside.
Yeah.
Set your butt on the ground under a tree.
Mm-hmm.
That changes your frequency.
At will.
That brings you back. Yeah. That brings
grounds
you back
to
in tune with the earth.
Yeah.
But you got
to
sit on the earth.
Every day.
You can't
do
it.
I need to get.
You can't do a chair or you can't do a blanket. You need to sit right on your ass on, pants maybe, but.
No, you can do a chair. You can do a blanket. Royal Rife, the Russian gentleman.
Yeah.
He's got over 5,000 frequencies that will cure things.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I post him, Facebook takes it off.
Oh, yeah. Of course they will.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But you've got Grimner with RealLibertyMedia.com, and he is not one to tell you what to post. So you've always got that. Because you can come here and do radio podcasts.
Yeah, you are always welcome here, Larry.
Yeah.
I'd love to come back anytime you want me.
Well, you already are.
We need to do a regular update with you because I want to know as soon as you roll out these things, and I think the people need to know, and we need to spread it as far and wide as we possibly can.
Now, we're at the last 5 minutes to make it to the hour, but according to the clock, it's four. We got 11 minutes to make a two-hour show. You want to do the whole time up, Larry?
It's up to you, whatever you want.
Whatever you want to do.
Okay, I would say then,
did you
spend the last of it with you two guys and give us 10 minutes of interesting conversation.
Well,
and then I'll close.
Did you finish with your points that you were trying to make it easy on people?
Not quite.
Go ahead and wrap that up. Then.
The Starship coil is beautiful, but it's the two-dimensional representation. It's what you get when you put it on paper.
Right.
And you guys are winding that on pegs flat.
Right.
That coil is nothing but a series of equilateral triangles wrapped around those pegs.
Right.
So stop that. You've already got your Starship coil. Wrap that around the toroidal shape.
Right. Just make that instead of 2D, 3D.
Yeah, exactly. And that will solve all your problems. The Starship Coil does a lot of really, really good things. But most people are winding that in a single circuit. That's
right.
A 12-circuit coil minimum.
Got it. Yeah, if I remember right, it has like 26 points or something on it.
Yeah.
Standard one.
Yeah, I think they're 10 degrees.
Something like that,
They're 20-degree separation, like on our coil, and that gives you 24.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, hey, and Larry, hang around after the show is over for a bit. So if you have anything you want posted on the notes, like perhaps your Facebook site somewhere, people can find you. If they hear this show and they're curious, they can pursue you through it.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. We'll do that afterward, but I just wanted to let you know for now.
All right.
Got a few more minutes,
so
guys.
Starship Coil needs to be 3D, not 2D.
Right.
Okay. What else?
That's really basically it. If you look at Solomon's Temple, it tells you the firing pattern of these coils. 258, 174.
258, 174.
It's in the columns on the face of Solomon's Temple.
Okay.
So we're not doing anything new. Nothing
no, I don't all. Believe that. I don't believe that we are. I think this is all rediscovering old technology.
Yep, it's all there. It's all been written. The three spirals that two of them are going clockwise and one of them's going counterclockwise on the cave walls from the cavemen are showing these designs.
Right.
Those people that wrote on those walls were from the previous civilization that knew how to do this stuff. And they did it all with frequency. Just like the Tibetans that are stacking the 2-ton rocks just by beating drums, blowing horns, or chanting.
Oh, you know how much they make out of the pyramids. How impossible it was to do that. Da-da-da-da-da. On and on and on. But it's there!
Wow.
No, it's not impossible to do it. It's impossible to tell us how they do it because if we would see how easy it was.
Move that 50-ton stone with your finger.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would...
Meter says hi, Larry.
Hey. Hi. And I would recommend that if you hear this show and you're not really sure what all this has been about, a good starting point would be the links that I put in the notes about from Nissan Harriman. He's a theoretical physicist, and that kind of threw me off at first, but I listened. And if I'll listen and make something of it, it's not that hard. You know, it's easy enough for me to get it. So if you got an interest in this thing, pursue the links to solidify what we're talking about. It'll just make more sense of it.
Vortex math, Solomon math, pyramid math, it all leads to this. Schauberger did this. Everything that Schauberger did with water, you can do with magnetic fields.
Right.
Donna's flashing her boobs at Larry like a crazy science groupie. So, yeah. See, Larry, you have influenced. We're at the end, too, guys.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
But
Larry.
But you've done a lot for people, Larry. Don't forget that.
Yeah, you got a following. When is the next the next step of progress that you expect to see in your group there and in the open source publication? What's the next big event that's coming up?
Well, we're writing the technical manuals.
Yeah.
We're figuring out the safety steps that need
right.
to be taken to protect everybody.
Okay.
We're learning how to size Faraday cages.
Okay.
It's a matter of educating 12 guys that are all smarter than me.
Uh-huh.
Just the steps that we take to keep it from being harmful, like everything that's going on in society today.
Right. Okay. So when do you? What I'm trying to do is figure out when would be a good time to have you back on the radio again to give us an update after something should have happened.
Well,
Or do you want an opportunity? A month, 2 months, 3 months? No. Or do you want an opportunity to make a weekly appearance or something? We can do a whole new show to add on to the RLM.
I think a weekly thing is probably a bit much for Larry, but
yeah, that's a little bit too often. There's not
maybe
really
a once
that
a month. Yeah, I'm thinking once a month or maybe in three months come back and touch base again. I mean, I'm just trying to set it up so we don't go another. What I don't even know how long it's been. A year, 2 years. Since the last time we had you on the radio?
Yeah, at least a year.
Yeah, so I want to stay on top of it and keep in touch with you and bring you on a semi-regular basis as far as being able to get updates on where you're at and what you're doing.
Once a month would be good. Like I said, we're writing manuals now and discussing safety factors. That's the only problem that people without an electrical background have. They don't know how bad it is.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
it can be dangerous.
Yeah. Let's leave the doing further shows open to Larry, and we'll accommodate you. When you feel you got something you want to do a show about, let me know, and then I'll.
Well, you've
I'll
got wire now, so you can you can catch me or Flash on wire anytime. I have my wire open all the time. It's.
Okay.
That way, I think pretty much everybody with a brain's migrated away from Skype. So
yeah, but when you feel like something important and needs to be spoken about, you get a hold of me and we'll do the show for you at your convenience, so that we don't got to pester you. Because there's a lot of people that would like to hear the things that you have to say about a lot of stuff, and we only had 2 hours, so that didn't cover.
Can't get enough. Can't get enough of it, Larry.
There's a lot more that we need to hear.
So, I didn't realize that it had already been 2 hours.
Yeah, that's what I mean. And Grim's got his program coming up.
It did. That was quick.
We got post-production to get this thing on. And it was a spur-of-the-moment thing. I just thought, let's just do it.
I wasn't expecting it to do this.
Thanks, Rob.
I skipped breakfast for this, by the way. I hope you know.
But thanks to Rob Works for thinking of doing this. I thought he wanted to do a show with you. I didn't know he wanted me involved. And now I'm glad
you brought him to the table, and I know you're into this.
Vinny brought him to the table. Vinny
and him. Besides, you needed to get over your thing. So I'm glad that has been squared away. Feel like you can't be friends with Larry and all that stuff.
But so. And a special great thanks to Larry for coming over here and spending his time explaining the same old thing to us simpletons that for whatever reason we're not getting it, so that we can physically make it work. It's very confusing to try to
give the knowledge, and that's their job, is to spread it to all the rest of us
anyway. And so there's the show for the Dork Table on this 1st of March 2020 with my special guest Larry Woods and my partner in crime, Rob Works. So outside of that, I'm going to over and out. You got anything left to say, go for it.
Go for it, Larry.
Keep up the good work, guys. Don't ever let somebody tell you that it can't be done. Try it and find out.
Thank you, Larry. Thank you, Rob.
Thanks for coming on, Larry.
Thanks.
Later, everybody.